Stand back! There's a hurricane coming through!
Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com with us the next hour. Talking all things Tennessee Titans. Taking your thoughts for PK on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jacob on the text line to you, Joe, says, probably would have gotten your real ID faster if you called people sir or ma'am.
Well done.
Maybe be a little bit more polite moving forward. You can expedite some of these things.
Well done, well done. I got to read this one. This says, come on, Paul, more respectful than the rest of the country. I'm from Chicago, lived here 18 years. The sir and ma'am crap is so fake. Just like saying I'm blessed is part of the fake Southern niceness. People are more real and nicer in the Midwest and Northeast.
Yeah, you know where people are real nice?
The Northeast is a stretch,
yeah,
man.
New York and Chicago, where all the nice people live.
No, I don't disagree with there being a level of fakeness to it. I think there is a level of sincerity to it with kids. And with the kids that I know.
You believe the children are our future.
I do believe.
Treat them well and let them lead the way.
I've said that time and time again. I came to do an afternoon show with you after doing a elementary school career fair.
That's right.
You guys bring me what you're doing for the children.
That's right. Not as much as PK,
apparently. Scaring them away from.
Nobody's asking me to talk to elementary school children. Not happening.
And you'd talk to them about your golf swing.
I would. Probably would
scare the crap out of them.
you see the bounce on this wedge?
Yeah, you guys wouldn't believe the loft this thing gets. So,
hey, look at this video. Chase McCabe swinging a golf club, kids. Let's gather around.
Let's talk about all the things that are wrong here.
That'd probably get the kids going at that point. So, PK, we had the Calvin Ridley conversation earlier. A good piece that you put up at PaulKuharski.com. About some of Ridley's comments yesterday, some of your observations from Ridley on the field. And it just got me thinking, you know, we've talked with you before about how Ridley has started slow, certainly last year with the Titans. You know, we had Michael DiRocco on last year talking about his slow start with Jacksonville and how much better that needs to get this year. And one of the questions I threw out there, if it does, what does that say about Cam Ward? What would that tell you about Cam Ward, his ability to get on the same page quickly with Calvin Ridley when Trevor Lawrence and Will Levis have not really been able to do so in each of the past 2 years?
I mean, it's certainly a key to this offense for the best receiver to have a quicker, good connection with his top receiver and with the top pick in the draft. It needs to be better, faster. I think because Ridley did get going, I think at the end of the season we said, well, you know, he's not great because he'll run out of bounds short of the marker and say he thought a guy was there when a guy's not there. But I think also he bought himself out of the miserable start, which we know was partially Levis, but which also, you know, history came to tell us was definitely partly Ridley. First six games, 12 catches on 36 targets for 183 yards and one touchdown. That's six games. I mean,
it's not good.
Titans have a lot of guys. I'm trying to get a picture of this dude on TV.
Yeah, like, what are you doing with your
because
phone,
he
dude?
Looks he looks like somebody. 12 of 36 targets, 183 yards and one score. No, Easton Freese. And I didn't. It's a shame.
I know
that
exactly
there's a,
who you're talking
it's
about.
It's a
that's
shame.
Funny.
There's a second person on earth that has that look. So I wanted.
Dang.
I wanted to document.
Take it strays for Easton. Coming from male model Paul Kuharski.
There's three, really. You got Eddie Munster, you got Easton Freeze, and you got this dude.
Hey, yeah.
So I got a picture. I documented it. I could send it to Easton, and now he could take shots at me on his podcast to counteract it. It was all in good fun. Easton Freeze, a guy that's not afraid to stay in a press box for a little while there. I gave him some credit to go along with the condemnation.
I thought you said condom. What? Okay, condemnation.
Just listen to the words.
You and the big words from the Ivy League. I tell you what, you gotta stay with the whole word.
I didn't do any.
Remain invested.
I didn't do any sirring or mamming.
Here you go, Easton. Be careful out there.
When I was in New York City.
Oh, good God.
Joe, ask a Titans question.
I might have called the professor sir in an effort to fare better.
So anyway, Ridley.
Great question.
Yeah.
I think we've exhausted the Ridley. I will say, I led off with this story with a good throw. Later, there were two, you know, non-connections that show you that they still have work to do. He overthrew him. Cam overthrew him on a deep ball on a series of third and tens. He threw some rolled out, threw something short to DK, overthrew Ridley, and then had Prochet dive for a ball that he could have caught that he didn't come down with. So that was more of a slice of something that wasn't terrific overall.
So, I mean, one thing I do wonder about, you know, I realize he's 30, and he'll be 31 as the season goes on here. But he's had such a slow start. You went through the numbers last year with the Titans. He had a slow start with Jacksonville. And he still ended up in both years with more than 1,000 yards. So if they get that problem corrected, can he still be – I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to ever be again a 90-catch, 1,374-yard guy like he was in his breakout year in Atlanta. But could he be a 75-catch, 1,200-yard guy for the Titans? Does he still have that skill set in him at this point?
I don't know if it'll go to 75 catches based on their determination to spread it around, maybe. If he's getting that many balls, I think that would mean you're really executing a downfield offense. And then the yards would come because he averaged, 15.7, if I'm not mistaken, which is healthy. You said he caught, 12 or 17 fewer passes last year. With a yard more than he had the year before in Jacksonville.
He's 15.9. Is better than Trevor Lawrence?
He was 15.9 a catch, which was actually the best number of his career. 15.9 a catch.
I mean, if you could get him to 1,200, that'd be nice. You guys were mentioning the idea of you know, a 1,000-yard receiver doesn't mean as much as it used to. You're making the mistake that I've made. I finally beat this into my head, still thinking that the 17-game schedule is kind of new. It's been 2021 already. So guys have been amassing these 17-game season stats for a while already. And so I think we're never going to not think 1,000 yards is some kind of benchmark for a receiver, but it's really not that impressive, nor is 1,000-yard running back season, right?
It's so, something, though.
It's a nice round number, but
it's not nothing.
When you average it out, not great,
but you also assume
that math. I'll do that math in my head.
But you
right
also
now.
Like how many guys play the full 17? You know, that's another part of it. So yeah, it's not you expect you're gonna have a couple games of like
58
very little production.
Game.
Yeah, I mean that's
yeah,
I mean,
that's not bad. 58.
Yeah,
a game.
I mean, that's
I'd take 58 a game.
Right.
If I'm a Titans receiver.
So who's gonna be the second leading receiver on the Tennessee Titans?
Lockett. I think Lockett's still – and I say this without having seen him. He hasn't been on the field for these two practices, but he was still doing things. And I just think, again, I'm hopeful for them that these fourth-round guys pan out, but I just think and maybe somebody emerges, but I think it's a lot to put big expectations on fourth-round draft picks. And then I think it's really a lot to put big expectations on fourth-round draft pick wide receivers who play for the Tennessee Titans.
I've got a question that we threw out there yesterday that I would love to get PK's thoughts on coming up next. We'll do that. Take your thoughts for Paul Kuharsky on all things Titans at 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
I'm comfortable all the time, man.
Did you change, you know, weight or anything like
that?
Oh,
yeah. Yes, sir.
What are your expectations for yourself and your team?
Be the best that I was last year. Be better than I was last year.
Talk about focusing maybe on weight. Are you down compared to last year?
Oh, yeah.
Time?
Yes, sir.
Ask
Callahan, man.
Yeah, okay. But
there you go.
Enough where you feel it, though, out here?
Feel what?
You feel lighter and faster.
Oh,
and
I feel great.
Yeah.
Yes,
sir.
Did you ask JC about what his plan was? Did you guys have similar plans? Or you have
a grown man. He do his own thing, man. I do mine.
I saw Sebastian was doing some things like yoga, it seemed, or hot yoga of some kind this offseason. Did you do anything kind of out of the ordinary or maybe outside the box?
I try hot yoga. I tried hot yoga.
How did it go?
It was all right. Pilates too. I ain't going back to Pilates.
Devondre Sweat, not a big fan of Pilates. Not a big fan of the hot yoga. Apparently he's lost some weight. We'll see what that ends up looking like on the field for the Titans this year. PK, we threw this out there yesterday. I did a Titans buy or sell, and one of the questions I asked was, will there be a Titan that has 7 sacks or more this year? Which is really not a very big number, but I'm looking around at their roster right now. Arden Key has never reached that number. Draymond Jones has never reached that number. You've got Femi Oladejo coming in, who's a rookie that just started playing the position last year. Jeffrey Simmons has reached it. His season high is 8.5, which was back in 2021, but he's been at 5.5 and 5 the last 2 years. So is he going to go reach it? And then you've got Sweat, who they're hoping to get more production rushing the passer this year, but he had three quarterback hits a year ago and 1 sack. So I'm looking at that, and I don't feel great about anybody reaching that number, and it makes me wonder where in the world the sacks are coming from this year from the Titans. What say you? Does a Titan reach 7 sacks on the year this year?
I mean, if I had to bet on it, I'd say no. Simmons had 8.5 and 7.5 back-to-back, but that's going back to 2022. He'd be probably the best chance unless Oladejo comes, from kind of nowhere and has an outburst. I think their hope for sacks is 3 from everybody on the roster, something like that. Some guys have 6 and some, somebody like Allie Gay chips in with 3. Justin Harrell chips in with 3 and some blitzers chip in with 3 and it mounts in that regard. I think I've heard them say that they missed 20 last year. And so if they're better finishers, that would help if they're in range. But, who missed those 20 last right. year? I would guess Harold Landry missed 8.
I also have no contact. I don't really know. What is that a big number? I don't know.
20?
Yeah. So it's like 1 a game, a little bit more than 1 a game missing a set. I mean, I don't know. It seems like it's a relatively common occurrence, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also, how do you judge missing a sack? That's where it gets subjective, too, with the film watchers at PFF and whatever.
I think this is the film watchers in their building judging sacks that they should have
That's
had.
That's the Titans saying they missed 20.
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, it's the biggest concern on the team.
Yeah.
How are they going to rush the passer? And the other thing, I don't know if forgive me if we talked about this last week. They're talking about being bigger, and being bigger gives you a more direct path. I mean, we've heard about this, the interior thing, but now they're talking about it as an exterior thing, an edge thing. If you bowl a guy over and can bully him, you have a little bit more of a direct path in some ways. I don't know. I think that it's a pretty direct path if a bendy guy just runs past somebody into the backfield. And I understand them talking about being bigger and more physical, and that helps you set the edge and all of that. But the number one reason you don't have a bendy edge is because the best – and you do have one in Arden Key. But bendy edges who burn the edge and get to the quarterback are elite players, and you don't have access to that.
Right.
Right? So then you say, well, we'll be big. Well, you might have wanted to be bigger, but trust me, if you could add a elite bendy edge to your bigger group, you would. You couldn't, because you didn't have a draft pick that would get you one, and none of them come to market.
Tom Brady, one of the greatest quarterbacks in AFC East history, was always bothered much more by interior pass rush. I'm just saying. By the way, does Sweat look like? Does he look thinner? Does he look? I mean, it look about the same? Or
I'm not very good at assessing bodies with shirts on in terms of
weight loss. Naked bodies to assess them better.
I do. Shirts off. Yeah, you can put that on the record.
Oh, shirts and skins out there, please.
Even Latham.
Take off your robe.
Even Latham with his shirt off the other day, last week, I said, if he had 30 more pounds on than that last year, I mean, I missed the fact that he was super fat.
Because it looks they were talking 370, right?
Yeah.
370 is that's big. Enormous. Yeah. Holy, I don't know.
I mean, there was a sneaky line from Callahan yesterday about Latham and them things kind of getting away from him yesterday at last season.
We said that last week. You said that again yesterday.
Brian Callahan, Bill Callahan.
The other Callahan.
Okay. Bill Callahan.
Yeah, everybody's got to make sure they talk about Latham's extra biscuits last year.
I think.
Thank God he lost some of that weight.
Sweat's talking about being quicker, you know. And I think, you know, Sweat needs to rush the passer better. I've been on this. And I think ultimately whether Sweat rushes the passer better or not determines whether Sweat was worth the 38th pick in the draft. Because if he's just a big run stuffer. But when he was out on the field, I saw a ginormous man still. I mean, he's never going to not look enormous. No matter what, he loses weight-wise.
He's not going to look like that Jelly Roll bobblehead right there.
Because of the build of his head. Yeah. We just had a great conversation about do they make fat bobbleheads. Because the Jelly Roll one is not. And we understand he's losing weight and everything. But at the time the bobblehead was made by the Predators, this is not an accurate reflection of his body type.
I want anatomically correct bobbleheads. To a point. Not like totally, but you know what I'm saying.
And to Robbie's credit, he decided Bartolo Colon was the perfect person to look up. And the Bartolo Colon bobblehead, he's fat.
It's
perfect. Swinging a bat.
Got some girth to it.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Did you look for Prince Fielder?
I did. It's not quite as good as the Cologne one. Yeah, it's a little bit more svelte.
I think it's a financial thing. You put more meat on the bobblehead, it costs more money.
Costs a little bit more. I think there's something to that. You know, going back to Sweat, so we thought last year heading into the season that he and Simmons together had a chance to be one of the strengths of the team. If it's not the strength of the defense this year, Paul, I don't know what their path to being a good defense is, because we just went through the edge rushers. They're not getting, unless Oladejo comes in and is just unbelievable right from the start, and maybe he is, we'll see. But they're not going to generate a ton of pressure on the quarterback based on the edge rusher group that they've got right now. So if Simmons and Sweat aren't really, really good together, I don't know that I can see a path where this defense is any good this year.
Well, it's a back-to-front defense for the second year in a row.
And I don't know that's the best way to operate.
Oh, no, it's not. I mean, I don't think anybody sets out to build that way. I don't think they talk about building that way. You build from the trenches. And look, I think Simmons and Sweat will be very good against the run because they've got better support around them now. I think Cody Barton's an upgrade there, and these big edges will defend the run better. I think they're certain to set the edge better, don't you? I mean, how can they not? You make sure Key's not out there on too many obvious rundowns, and that wasn't Landry's strength by any means, though he certainly worked hard at it. And I think you fare better there with Femi Oladejo and Draymond Jones. You know, those two guys should be able to do good work in the run game. But you force them into passing situations, and then you can't rush the passer. Fewer mobile quarterbacks, I think, on their radar this season, which is a good thing for them. I think the corners are going to be better than we think, with or without Snead. I like the group, and I think the depth at safety now is significantly better with Winston. But you can only ask him to hold up for so long.
You're kind of pumping some sunshine today.
I like the corner. I like the corner group. I like these.
Even without Snead, man, it's hard for me to see them being effective without Snead.
I think when you look at what, and this is small sample size, but Denard Wilson, what he did with a guy like Baker.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a very small sample size, but like Judy Lawley's getting his hands on a lot of balls now, and I think has upside in the second year. And they paid some of these undrafted rookies competitive money to get guys that were wanted by other teams because they knew they needed depth there. And so, and this guy from Dallas, a veteran from Dallas, who's got a tough last name, who's a very long guy, who, like, if you look at him lining up, you're like, whoa, that guy's got some serious length. I think they've got some things to work with at corner. They're not everyday names by any means, but I think they're guys who can go out there and make some play.
Phillip on the text line wondering if Jalen Harrell will have any impact this year.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be an impactful fifth edge.
A lot of talk about him in the preseason last year to generate not very much in the regular season.
Oh, man. Boy, he was a training camp. I don't even remember him necessarily being great or anything, but
one big second half in a home preseason game.
Yeah, there you go. That's enough.
Sometimes it is.
August hero, preseason.
You guys probably talked about him for 3 days. You guys. And you're minimalists compared to everybody else in the electronic media.
When we weren't talking about Mason Kinsey.
Yeah, we had to really get in on that front. 615-737-1025. More coming up next with PK, Robbie, and Rex Road. 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got some tickets to give away to see Lil Baby at Bridgestone Arena this Sunday night. Be caller 6, 615-737-1025. Caller 6 will win a pair of tickets to see Lil Baby at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Sunday night.
How little?
You're a big little baby guy. You're a big little baby guy, aren't you?
Big little baby.
Huge. Huge little baby guy.
Lil Baby, according to AI, 5'8".
That's not that little.
Yeah, but that warrants the name. I think 5'8 is, 5'3 would be better.
I want Lil Baby to be, a bigger version of Mini Meat. that's what the name suggests.
Yeah, take it up with him on Sunday night.
Yeah. Small baby. By definition, what you're telling me is you're a small baby.
Really should go big baby, because a big baby would be more like, well, not 5'8", but.
And again, not to be confused with Duh Baby,
right,
who's somebody completely different.
From Charlotte.
Lil Baby. Lil Baby's from Atlanta.
Are you into that?
Nope, don't. Not familiar.
I love how you're done pretending that you're into some of this stuff.
Do you want to see my iTunes?
No.
Yeah, the Wu-Tang album came out when I was 18, you freaking hobgoblin.
Hobgoblin. Whoa, these insults are really flying.
That's a new one he's come up with.
You look like a hobgoblin.
I'm burned. I look like a hobgoblin.
Yeah, so just because you're 73.
We're going after looks now.
Oh, yeah, you never do that. No. You talk about my gout. Just because you're
73. That's not looks. Gout is not a looks disease.
By the way, our thoughts are with.
That's not true, because your foot gets like all inflamed.
Yeah, our thoughts are with Paul Bissonnette of TNT as he goes on his NHL coverage here, who is apparently battling gout in the Stanley Cup final.
He said he has two steaks every day, so there you go.
Our best wishes to him and his family.
Just so you know, PK, because you're 73 years old, see, there are people who are younger than you who like hip-hop. It's okay to like other kinds of music than Bruce Springsteen.
How much older is
it? It's absolutely okay.
But some of it is
for show.
How much older?
In the case of you.
Okay.
Is PK than you? 1 year? 2 years?
Yeah, he makes it like super old.
No.
What? I'm asking.
He's at least 5 years older than me.
I'm 56.
Okay. So you're 5 years older than me.
All right.
Wow. 5 years doesn't mean much when you get to our age, Chief.
I'll take it. I'll take the 5 years.
I'm 5 years older and gout free, which rounds me down and you up.
That's true, but I don't.
That's true.
I don't have chronic.
Next topic.
Chronic irascibility syndrome.
gout PK, free. Big deal or no deal at all that Kevin Zeitler's not on the field? I wanted to get your thoughts on this because you've made it clear you want no time. You know, no struggles, no excuses for the Titans' offensive line heading into year one. Zeitler's not out there.
Must be great right away.
They're really easing him in. Easing him in. I think, last week, I understand. This week, I start to wonder a little bit. They say he doesn't need anything. Well, what about the guy? What about Latham with him?
Yeah.
I mean, they don't only have so much time. I would think you'd want them to start to work next to each other to some degree. So not a big deal, but not zero deal either.
Yeah, the more I think about it, I think Trevor Maddich's theory makes sense.
Maybe there's just something nagging.
Like, not worth doing anything.
Could be, but right? I don't care about it much at all from just purely the Zeitler perspective, but I think what he said is exactly right. I mean, you've got a center that may or may not be available by the time the season starts. And you've got a right tackle now that he's never played with. And even Dan Moore, right? Like, you've got a left tackle on the other side that's never played with Skoronski. I understand that they're not going through pass sets where they're, you know, they're, it's physicality with shoulder pads on and everything right now. So there's a limited amount of work that you can get that's meaningful for an offensive line. But you can go through some communication. You can look and recognize what's going on and kind of go through some of your checks that way. I'd prefer to see him out there. It's not the world's biggest deal, but I think we're also extra sensitive to it with how bad that offensive line's been the last 3 years. And also, if you're a Titans fan that feels that way, I can't blame you.
Also, I mean, this guy's a key part of this football team, right? I don't think anybody will say any differently. And I know fans out there don't give a bleep about this angle, but I'm never going to stop pushing for access. We haven't met the guy. Guy hadn't done anything on camera or in front of a microphone. So this is a key member. If they don't push him out next week, we won't have met him before the start of training camp. A guy who signed on March 13th and is a vital leader and key cog to this.
That's bizarre. That's weird. New head of comms. Have you pissed him off yet?
He's not here yet. He may pass through next week. He knows who's who and what's what. I've texted with him. He's going to be fine.
Good to know.
Well, he'll be fine if he does what you just said.
Well, I mean, look.
Does what? Actually, I'm told that he's very good at getting guys to do things. So
good.
I suspect Kevin Zeitler, if Everett Geerlings was here running the show, we would have heard from Kevin Zeitler months ago.
I mean, they're going to act like, you know, Brian Callahan said it with the Dan Moore thing, that it wasn't by design. It really wasn't, you know, something that they thought all that much about. It is weird, though. Like, this just doesn't really happen.
The longer it goes, the more it feels like it's by design. Yeah. And you know how to make it not feel like it's by design? Walk the guy out.
So since we're talking about offensive linemen, I did want to get you on something, PK. Just, I sort of pondered this in the 6 o'clock hour. Yep, Nicholas Petitfrère. Gone, done already.
What do you have, like 3 weeks?
So
yeah, it's less than a month.
I want to know if you thought the same thing I did. We I know we both talked last year about, yeah, it's possible that he could be okay at right tackle. We were wrong. He wasn't. It wasn't 100% guaranteed he wouldn't be. If so, then like guys like Bill Callahan, who, you know, knows offensive line play a little bit, probably wouldn't have like gone that way.
Banked on him, yeah.
So talking at NPF, I always thought he was a smart kid, a pretty humble kid, seemed like he had his head on straight and all that stuff. And then, like, this to me, and he's too talented. He is talented enough to be in the league, to not be cut in June. Is it just as simple as just completely wrong priorities? I mean, it's just hard. It really is a befuddling thing. I know Titans fans are just glad that he's not on their team anymore, but it still just blows my mind that it got this bad for him this fast.
I do think generationally there is more potential for guys to kind of lose their love of ball or see like potential to do other stuff. I don't know. The guy clearly doesn't like football as much as he did at the beginning. Maybe satisfied with that rookie contract, but I do see more guys that are less motivated by getting to that second contract, which used to be everything.
The math tells you that's not some smart way to approach
things. It's really not.
No.
You know, I mean.
No. But, I mean, don't you find, even outside of football, I think there are people of that age, this is somewhat of a national trend, right, who aren't going to bust it. Like, and it's odd that it's happening at football because football – the money is life-changing,
yeah,
right? But other people at that age, I don't know if you listen to how they kind of pose things, they're like, I'm not going to give my life to work the way I've watched my parents. The trade-off isn't worth it, and I want time to whatever, play video games, go fishing, hang out with my friends in a way that I didn't see my parents have a fair exchange for it. Now, how they're going to wind up paying their mortgages and doing all that, I don't know that they've figured out, and I marvel at it. For Nicholas Petitfrère, that's not going to be an issue if he's smart with the money he's already made. But I think generally in that age bracket, there are more people willing to not do it.
I'm just going to go fishing, sir. That's what they're saying. It's like the Andy Griffith
show. Don't you see it?
No, no. Oh, believe me. Yeah,
it's hard to figure this out.
We probably don't have time for this conversation. Like, let's start ripping on the younger generations. But yeah, I mean, I think there's something.
I'm going to talk about and ma'am and yell at the youngins today.
I have a lot of struggles with it, but there's something to be admired about what they're thinking in their core.
I respect the idea of trying to have life balance.
Yes, I don't know how they come to terms with it in terms of making their life function. God bless them if they figure it out.
Bless their hearts. I hope they can figure that out.
They've got the priorities figured out in terms of work-life balance. Yeah. I just don't know if they have it figured out in terms of pay the bill balance.
It's odd.
Get out of the house balance.
It's odd to see an offensive tackle get cut in June, right? Like, yeah. That's just – I know they made a corresponding move, so I get it.
Yeah, there's bottom of the roster shuffling going on everywhere. And, I mean, Micah Bernard just got cut here. And Nicholas Petit Frere is now like Micah Bernard.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume he ends up somewhere else here in camp coming up, gets another shot. But, like, people bring up the Andre Dillard example of, like, he's just bouncing around because he's a tackle. Andre Dillard's also a former first-round pick, and Petit Frere is a third-round pick. Now, there's only a limitation to what that should mean. I get that.
Yeah.
But – People keep thinking they can figure out Andre Dillard.
But what it does mean is that they are both talented. They both have the talent to be in this league and at least be in a rotation, be a two in this league.
To your point, though, about what we thought about NPF a couple years ago, I don't think we ever would have said, well, these guys are both in a couple years going to go sign with San Francisco in the offseason after things have gone wrong for them, and we would have said, oh, Dillard's going to outlast NPF. With an offseason contract.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, maybe his fantasy football stuff's going better than we think.
That's what David from Watertown, maybe he's making enough money gambling, being a fantasy sports analyst. I mean, it's possible, but there's a lot of fantasy sports analysts out there. I don't know that MPF's insight is that great.
Has anybody seen his stuff?
I've not seen it. I have not.
I mean, the only time I've ever heard about him being a fantasy analyst is when it came to light that he was a fantasy.
Someone I used to work with did work with him last year, but I didn't catch any
of
them.
How'd that go?
They were excited to have him.
That's good.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
It's great to have him on. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. One more segment with PK coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Paul Kuharski with us here on the program. PK, your impressions of Cam Ward to this point in the offseason workouts that you have seen?
He's fine. He's okay. He's not doing anything dazzling. I don't know that you expect anything dazzling in the first two practices that you see. Yesterday, a couple drops that hurt him, and one miscommunication. Pretty decisive. Throws a nice ball that arrives in a hurry. But seems to have a good head on his shoulders about progressing gradually. Pumped up the tires of Ridley in a big way, which I think, probably is a good thing to do in terms of the things that we talked about in terms of needing to strike a good relationship with Ridley right away and get a good chemistry going with him. Spreads the ball around a lot, which I think is inevitable with this. Doesn't check down a ton, which you like. So I think, things are progressing. I think next week will be far more telling. We'll see 3 days in a row.
Yep.
And the tempo will go way up for the minicamp. Jeff will be there, presumably.
Did you see those videos of him working out, man? He's pumping some iron.
Haven't seen him.
Very strategically placed. I saw those.
Yeah. How about that?
It's like, wow, these videos of Jeffrey Simmons working out are coming out. How about that?
It's like, whoa, this dude's lifting weights.
He was.
Are you blocked?
He could be.
Was it on Twitter?
It was.
Yeah, I am blocked on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Did we talk about this last week?
Not last week.
Well, we talked about Deion Lewis.
We talked about Deion Lewis last week. Much less important.
This week, Jeff Simmons.
Well, here's one thing I'd like to get your opinions on. Both of you. So Callahan was talking about this yesterday, and he was talking about Cam Ward and essentially the messaging to the quarterbacks in practice of, hey, let it rip. Try some things out in practice. And if it doesn't work, then we'll go back to the drawing board and all that stuff. I hear that, and I'm like, okay, I kind of like that. I also see where you could be, you could look at that, and you could hear that, and you can be like, well, how about you practice like you want to see him play in a game and operate the way you want to see him play in a game at that point and make the throws that you're looking for in a game setting rather than just what you can get away with in practice. So where do you come down on that? Joe, we'll start with you.
Yeah, well, and this discussion was definitely part of the Levis, I think a year ago, right?
It was part of the, you know, when Tannehill was throwing interceptions all around camp.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, how much of this is just him inaccurate with the ball and how much of it is maybe them trying something
else? It's like, to me, with Tannehill, because I remember getting heated about this. I mean, with Tannehill, like, at that point, he was a proven QB. He had just had, like, the best combination of yards per attempt and completion percentage in 30 years in the NFL. So, like, for him, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Just see if you can fit that one in. Try this, that. I'm kind of with you on, like, at some point you need to get to let's run an offense and let's make the right choices over and over again and make that repeatable.
He's saying that, Callahan, but there's no evidence of it going on in any kind of big way. I mean, he's not taking any extreme risks. And he's not throwing picks. So, in practice, you can say he's testing some boundaries. Probably when you look at film, you know, well, this throw was tighter than we'd want you to make in a game because it's a little risky. But I'm not watching those practice sessions and thinking he's pushing any boundaries.
Reckless. Yeah.
Yeah, in any extreme way. So, I think it's fine what they're doing and what he's saying, and they're not – he's not doing anything extreme by any means.
There you go.
So to the degree that they're pushing that message on him, they're not over-pushing it.
Okay. Yeah, I understand it. Like, I saw some Titans fans react to that a little bit yesterday and was like, that sounds good, but I'd like to see him operate the offense first. I agree with you. Like, next week, pace ramping up. I mean, I don't think you expect Cam Ward to be dazzling anybody right now. Just get your work in, get better. And
I'm not thinking in terms of overall dazzling. I do think, like, I don't know. I was thinking about Vince Young and Marcus, and I think it's still early, but I think those guys, like, would have made a play or two where you would have been like, ooh, that makes me feel like he is of his status.
You just going to ignore Jake Locker? He didn't make any plays in camp?
Jake Locker wasn't good.
he was not.
But I think with those two guys, like, by the end of next week, it would have seen something that made you go, wow.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious if by the end
I'll
of next week.
I'll be shocked if you don't next week.
We'll see something from Cam Ward that makes you go, wow.
I'm sure there will be, right? I mean, you've seen enough of it in college. But then, like, with all this talk about, yeah, taking the risks and stuff like that, to me, another big thing is how often is he fooled or not fooled? Like,
yes.
You know, how clearly is he seeing things? And is even if he is a little too risky with something, if he still knows what it is, then that's a difference between, oh, crap, I thought the linebacker wouldn't be there, right?
Yeah, he seems to have pretty clear vision. To this point, in the very little bit that we've seen, I have to make that point. You know, they've gone
June
three times.
Sucks,
they've
man.
Gone 3 times a week for these last 2 weeks, and we've seen, you know, two.
Hey, J Rob's been on Good Morning Football all week.
Yeah.
Is he launching a media career?
Well, what I've heard is that there may be a podcast coming.
Okay.
But I think for most people, this was a complete surprise. I don't think NFL Network is calling him and saying, hey, John, would you do this, based on the fact that he's done nothing. So I would think it's his people reaching out and saying, hey, we're looking for an opportunity.
They're leaning in on it. They had John Robinson story time, and they listed all these.
Yeah.
I mean, we were doing the show. Well, we were doing the show, so I haven't really been able to listen.
I know, but like Titans Twitter has not been clipping and putting up anything. I think he's talked very little Titans from what I've heard.
Yeah.
And so if he's saying
Jags, apparently,
if he's saying good stuff about other clever stories or whatever about other stuff, Titans Twitter has not shown an interest in sharing that stuff. I'm glad he's out there. I think, you know, rehabilitating your image and to get out there, TV certainly doesn't hurt you. I mean, it propelled John Lynch, it propelled Mike Mayock. And maybe it propels John Robbins.
A J Rob and Ran podcast?
What do you think? What if Ran had John on or John had Ran on? That would be all time.
It would be.
Titans appointment.
And
viewing.
Just never say one word about the Titans the entire time. Yeah. Just, completely
he's back
avoid
on today.
The Titans.
Here's
look at that guy.
He's doing the whole week.
He's got some beautiful hair, you know?
On the J Rob and Ran show.
Look at that lettuce.
Today on the J Rob and Ran show, our thorough examination of the Bears.
Probably not.
And we welcome in our first guest on the J. Rob and Ran show. It's Amy Adams Strunk. Amy, good to hear from you. How are things going?
Well, bless your heart, both of you.
Thank you, ma'am.
That's how you make it go full
PK,
circle. Don't lock the box. Be sure to lock your locks.
Thank you, sir, for being with us today here on the program.
Yeah, there
Jason
we go.
Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.